Yo, and welcome to the 60th episode of Lake of Rage, a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, a.k.a. Mellow underscore Magikarp, and I'm joined today by two very special temporary guest hosts. Joining us once again, a stalwart on the podcast scene, we have Grant, a.k.a. Boo underscore CK.
Yo, what's up, Mellow?
And joining us for the third time, we have someone who you're going to see in day two of Vancouver Regionals. I hope. We have Alex Cook.
The glorious return to day two, baby. Here we go.
You better. James just got 17th place in New Jersey. So
I know. I was going to make a comment about how this is my first time without James on the podcast. And I was just like, oh, he's too busy top 32ing. Tournaments and stuff, and I'm over here just still chilling.
I'd like to point out top 32ing with a fairly unique deck in Arceus Charizard. Baby. Yep.
You know that Leonardo DiCaprio meme where like he's pointing at the TV and stuff. James comes on my thing, and I like stopped everything. I was like, "That's my boy."
Which for anyone who is, because our audience has grown quite a bit since those two episodes with Alex and James. If you have not gone back to listen, those are literally timeless episodes because we're talking about retro formats with two people who are A, amazing at talking Pokemon, and B, have played a lot of retro. So be sure to check out those two episodes with Alex and James. They are worth the listen. Don't let the 3 hour timestamp make you not want to do it. All right, so we are here to talk about Astral Radiance today. At the time of recording, Astral Radiance just went live on PTCGO. We have not played with the cards quite yet. I don't know if either of you have proxied up any of the cards, but we're going to run through the Pokemon first, which ones are cool, which ones aren't, which ones have potential. Then we're going to get to the trainer cards, which is potentially the best part of the set. The trainer cards are disgustingly interesting, at the very least, if not incredibly good. So I want to start with Pokemon. The very first Pokemon, the one that is currently dominating in Japan. You see the pie charts from Japan, their city leagues, or you see them from their regional events that I now don't remember the actual name. Palkia V-Star is right there with Mew VMAX as the most popular and most successful deck. So let's start with Palkia V-Star. What are our thoughts on Palkia? Is this thing the new poster child and the new best deck in the format like it looks to be in Japan? Or is this a case where, you know, it's a good card, but it's not absolutely broken? Grant, do you want to start us off? What are your thoughts on Palkia V-Star?
Well, I put a lot of thought into this. And, you know, I do follow the Japanese list a lot. I think it's garbage. I'll go ahead and say it. I think it is so overhyped. I do not get why everyone's all over it. And I hope you all are. And I hope you show up to Milwaukee and NAIC playing it. Because it is overrated. It has very little viability in our format. Especially with the creativity and where everyone's heads are going. And the love for Turbo Dark. Like other decks that are going to just wash it over. It's a good card. It's a good card. But we're already seeing the shift in our meta away from everything Japan does. Seeing a lot more Bibarel, seeing the Jolteon come out, all these things. And Arceus is still just a powerhouse. So I don't get the hype. I mean, it's a good card. It's fine. And if you want to overpay for it and play it, be my guest.
How are you shotting an Arceus?
Right.
Arceus bib right now can just be like, cool, I'm going to chill with two Arceuses and a barrel. How do you deal with Arceus? Arceus is two shotting you, you're two shotting it, and like both decks are going to be consistent and both have this like built-in thing. We've already seen how like good Arceus is now with like the bib engine, and it's fine. It does okay, and you're like just big chilling with that. Like, legitimately, it will beat, like, the bad Arceus players that overbench and you just, like, smack them in the mouth. But, like, it's not anything that I'm, like, head over heels in love with. Plus, I think that there is a lot of room for Lightning. I think Lightning has... this is where the problem is, that my next tournament is still in the current meta, whereas Grant's is in the next meta. But like, there was a long, long time where I was legitimately considering Raichu for Vancouver. And like, if it's somewhat decent now, you give it an auto win in the whole matchup department, why is it not still good?
For what it's worth, Grant will be at Vancouver with us too. Remind me to introduce both of you. Yeah. All three of us will be in Vancouver.
Oh, shoot. Oh.
Seafood Towers on Friday night, right?
Oh, heck yeah. Okay, shoot. I didn't know that. I thought it was... Well, never mind then. Yeah, shoot. Everyone, let's play Raichu on Vancouver. Podcast over. Thank you for listening. This has been another edition of the...
It's funny. I was saying I thought Raichu would have been a decent play in New Jersey.
I literally played hours of Raichu. Hours and hours and hours. I was sick last week, and I just stayed on PCTGO and played Raichu for 3 straight days. No sleep.
I like it.
No.
If it beat Mew more consistently, I would be playing it.
It's just not good.
You just don't get the boss when you need to get the boss, because you boss Vicavolt a Genesect, and like, what do they do?
All right, Kevin. Go ahead and give your fanboy love for Palkia now.
Yeah, Palkia sucks.
I'm a little upset that you were both not into Palkia. And I guess this is where we were originally going to have Sack on. Because Sack is the person who played 3 games with Palkia, came into the team Discord and said, "Yo, this deck's absolutely broken and beats everything." And EDIF. I was hoping he would back that claim up, because Palkia is good. It's like a very good card, right? 280 HP. That's her. As a 2 prizer, good. 60 damage plus 20 for each bench Pokemon. Okay, so you can do up to, you know, what is that, 260, 290 with the choice belt. That's pretty good. Now, of course, Alex pointed out the obvious one. Well, what if they don't fill their bench? Look, people haven't learned how to not do that against Suicune yet, and that card's been out for like a year now. I'm not sure if they're going to learn because of Palkia.
Okay, one result from Suicune, though. Like, Suicune's already basically dead. It's a good rogue deck.
I think Suicune's very good. Like,
Grant Manley took it to second in one of the late nights that had like 400 people in it or something.
Yeah, I think Suicune is a good card, good deck when piloted by a good person. It got top 16, I think it was, at EUIC as well, which is like technically good.
It's a good deck. It's the same thing, but that's a basic. This is stage 1.
So the biggest issue for Suicune and why Palkia is actually just better is the 220 on a basic. 210 is a bad number to have if you're a V, and if you're 210, don't bother. If you're 220, thumbs up, we're rolling. We're ready to go.
That's actually super true. The amount of times my Arceus, it has had 210 damage on it going into my second turn is well above zero. Like, that's a handful of times where it's like, well, you didn't knock me out, so I'm perfectly fine here.
Why do you think everyone's playing Zigzagoon in like most of their Arceus builds now? Because like, you need to hit that 220 number. It's like it's just another reason why you should play a like 3-2 or 4-2 Arceus in all of your Raichu builds, because you can flappy to it and hit for 230 with a choice band. Thank you. This has been another episode of
Raichu. Yeah.
Raichu the podcast.
And I think the other part about Palkia that's like, it looks really good, is the ability, right? The ability is really good for consistency. And then you remember Arceus's ability is probably better. I don't know if probably is even the correct word. Definitely better. Because Palkia's V-Star ability is incredibly good. Like, if that was a GX attack or a GX ability, I guess, back in the GX days, that thing would have been better than most other GX attacks and GX abilities. But like, Arceus just gets 2 cards, and that's too good.
So it goes without saying, like, turn 2 of the game, obviously Arceus's V-Star is better, right? And then you think to yourself, all right, what about turn 5 on the game?
Arceus's. Right?
You're still saying Arceus, even though like turn 5, you're like, yeah, 5 energy or 3 energies. That sounds great. That sounds awesome, right?
Have you ever Starbirth for boss?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like, yeah. Have you ever not used Arceus's V-Star in turn 2 of the game? Oh, it's the best lift feeling in the entire world. Like, well, I just got it.
We got to keep in mind, Path is still a thing.
Yes.
And so, are you going to throw a Pumpkaboo or a off-path stadium in your Palkia deck to
yes.
be able to put three energies in?
Here's the plus one for Palkia, Temple of Sinnoh. I know we're not officially on trainers, but whatever. The idea that we're going to do Pokemon and trainers is incredibly stupid now that I think about it, because Dex. Temple of Sinnoh is all special energies are colorless and no other effect, right? Palkia is both defensive in that case and has a path bump for its ability as well. I think that's good. If you get a Temple of Sinnoh down against Arceus, they have to go find their own path, right? on that same turn.
It depends on the turn.
I mean, okay, true. Eventually. Well, no, because then they can't Sharon's Care Loop you. Or at least they can't do it easily if the Temple of Sinnoh is in play.
Yeah, it depends on the turn and the deck, I guess. Because if you have like a Melanie, you're actually getting a benefit by the Temple if you can get the third energy on there to be hitting 20 more damage, you know?
Does the Temple actually shut down Arceus, though?
No. It slows them down. It's like Path doesn't shut down Arceus in the mirror match either, but it's not bad.
Give me a Temple over a Path every time. Temple me all you want. I'll take that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because like slows you down, like if it's a Temple turn two, I'm just going to go find my counter stadium and win. And B, like if you get the attack off before the Temple comes off, you have an Arceus ready to go. As long as that Arceus doesn't get one shot, you're getting two attacks off of it.
And again, how are they going to one shot you?
Exactly.
Are they putting Ludicolo in the deck?
This whole idea of we were talking about this last night during the pack opening here at Tabletop Village in Seattle, where that Sharon's looping like isn't a thing with like with Sinnoh. They were freaking out about it. It's like, dude, your attack accelerates energies and basic energies. Like, I'm going to Sharon's the one that's has the double on it, promote the one that I accelerated to turn two, bench the other one, accelerate to that one. Sinnoh does nothing.
Eventually you're going to run out of energy, though. That works like twice.
But now, now the new meta, you can easily fix that. That's a easily fixable problem.
But that's all you need. You don't need... give me a scenario. Give me a situation where you're like, man, I really want three Arceus. Like, I really want to make my opponent go through three Arceus.
Yeah.
Nobody in the history of Pokemon TCG has ever taken three Arceus to win a Pokemon game.
Now let's look at the
I disagree with that statement.
No one's ever done that.
I would go back to most of my Salt Lake City rounds. A very significant amount of those were three Arceus games.
Take the flip side of this, though. Now you're Palkia, and you put down the Temple. On the flip side, you put down Path, block their ability. They don't have a Sharon's loop. What's their loop? Okay, Cheryl, and then the ability, so they have to find another stadium to get rid of Path, or the Pumpkin, whatever. So, or, the, you know, with the Inteleon engine. So they're running through their Inteleon engine just to be able to get three energies down to put on something that's going to get the other one's getting knocked out no matter what. Like, it's a much worse Arceus.
I think people are going to build Palkia wrong right off the gate, just like everyone built Mew wrong right off the gate. I think something like three Path, one Sinnoh is going to be like the thing to do. Because like Arceus is going to have to bounce your Path. They're going to have to. And the turn you do it, you're like, sweet, here's three energies.
But that's it. Then you're done.
And yeah, and then you're just like, here's a Path back.
Yeah.
So you have it in case of emergency, but like, yeah. One Sinnoh, maybe zero. I don't see people playing a bunch of it.
So let's transition to the actual best V star in the set.
Okay.
Which is Hisuian Samurott.
Yes!
I think this card at the very least is incredibly good right now. As long as Zigzagoon and Quick Shooting exist, I think this card is very powerful.
It's better than Darkrai.
I agree with that statement, and I'm gonna let you explain why, because I hate Darkrai and I can't form a good argument except I hate Darkrai.
Grant's ready to chomp at the bit. Where did I come up with the Samurott? So the idea here is that, like, first off, you're hitting 220, right?
Good
Which,
number.
As I previously said, right, like, that's what makes all these Arceus feel overly comfortable. It's like, oh, my 220 is safe. But, like, it's not, right? A ping puts you to 230. So, like, even better, some, like, you're hitting this magical number of 260 more often than not. And like everyone loves to hit this like 230, 260 with a ping or with a quick shooting or whatever to deal with opposing Arceuses. You have a way easier time of taking early prizes with Samurott than you do with Darkrai. Mm-hmm. Here's the scenario, right? How many cards do you need with Samurott to do 220 on turn two of the game? You need attach, evolve, Goonping. That's it. That's all you need. You're doing 230, right? Ping plus 220. Whereas Darkrai, in order to deal 220 on the second turn of the game, you're going to need, five energies at some point. Three of them need to find the discard. You need to find a Moltres or some Dark Patches. You need to probably hit a Research somewhere in there. You need to hit the Evolve, but you do with the Samurott anyway. Like, you have to hit two attachments plus other attachments onto the bench to hit 220 of the game. Is Darkrai's damage cap higher? Yes, but that's not really a big deal right now because Samurott is still hitting the numbers that need to be hit for the meta. You need to get to that 280 mark to deal with Arceus, the BDIF. And as long as you can comfortably be like, okay, look, I can hit 280 at some point in the game between Inteleon pings, Goon pings, and just raw damage from Hisuian Samurott, you're gonna keep that tempo going. Whereas Darkrai is like, I hope I hit my Moltres and my Dark Patches, and I hope I don't get knocked out turn two of the game and lose a couple of my energies. You're not going to get the one shots with Darkrai. You're just not going to get there.
Okay. Grant, go for it.
So I get that. We're focused on the early hit, the 220 number. But again, the same thing's going to come up. And it depends on, we can talk about how you build Samurott. If you don't get that knockout, then what's it worth to you? You know, they're gonna power up Sharon. Okay, that's two prizes. It's the whole engine doesn't really work without the one Samurott going off. If you don't hit that, you're so far behind.
That's true of Arceus too, though.
Right. But you can get in your Sharon loop. You ping, you don't get it. I can put a charm or even a cape on it and be alive. Are you running it with Eternatus to get a big bench, Goon Pings down? Like, what? How are we playing this thing? Just
you're playing
its own deck? Because if it doesn't get off, then you're...
Quick shooting. And Zigzagoon. Similar to Jolteon having both.
Okay, now you've taken the speed out of the game.
You need two attachments and a Goon Ping to hit 220 in turn two.
No, okay, Inteleon Ping is what he said. Oh, I'm taking from that. That's not the engine, though.
No, but it is the early game.
Yeah. You hit 220 of the game with attach bench.
And then if you don't, I share and pick it up, and I'm still
going. By that point, I have a Drizzile in play, most likely, and then you go Goon Ping, Inteleon Ping, Choice Band, 280, I'm shot in the Arceus anyway.
Or if you're Sharon's looping, I'm KOing the Arceus on the bench. That's the big deal there. That's like how Kevin Krieger's deck wins against Arceus. You never hit the active, you always KO the bench.
For the charm.
Yeah, but Choice Belt counters the charm.
No, you're short with the charm.
I think it's very fragile. I think that's all I'll get to is I think it's a very... I'm not saying it's a bad deck. I'm saying I think it's a very fragile engine to be like, okay, this is so, like, the best V-Star in the set. It's a very fragile deck.
I'm curious to hear your best V-Star. Because you have none, because it's Samurott.
Palkia? I don't know.
So the card you just said is complete garbage.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're all good in their own ways. I just think, okay, if we're focusing on what's the best one, okay, if the best one of a new deck archetype, I think, it's probably Darkrai. It's just a rebirth of Turbo Dark. And now you have cards to play Turbo Dark.
You Galarian Moltres, both of them, right,
yeah,
are
right.
Insane for the deck.
Exactly.
They are. They you can just ramp. Like, turn four, you can just be like, here's five more energies, and just go. The problem is always going to be, can I get those pieces in my hand, or when I need them?
Sure, but if you do, and you have Bat as well,
yeah.
So you have built-in draw. I think, you know, and the Greninja, we'll get to that one. But like as an archetype, I think that one's just a automatic, solid, consistent deck to be a performer versus this. I think it's still fragile. I don't know. Like I said earlier, how do you build it? We're talking Intel Engine. You have no OCO potential without a full combo every time.
You mean it's like Mello said? I think you just play it like you do Jolteon, right? And that's proven in the past to be wrong. The only thing that's hurt Jolteon is its numbers, right? Is the fact that it can't deal with Arceus very well, and the fact that it's like a 300 HP three prizer. That's what's hurt Jolteon. Jolteon is still consistent and good.
And Manaphy.
In terms of like.
And Manaphy.
Right? Yeah.
And
right,
everyone's playing Manaphy because of the mysterious fear of the Urshifu that doesn't exist in North America.
I'm not disagreeing with that statement. But
I mean, I'm still going to play it in Vancouver.
Urshifu? Oh, Manaphy.
No, Manaphy.
Yeah. No, I think I really want to play Urshifu, and everyone I talk to says, I don't think people are going to play it, but also I'm still going to play all of the techs.
Yeah.
Because the West Coast loves techs.
Especially if you play Crobat, the VMAX, like, it's just another one prize. Like, you're never really punished for having it in your deck.
I forgot, we're not even talking about Samurott's V-Star ability.
Which is really good.
Which gets you to, like, if you miss the one shot, gets you there.
Path, right? As well.
Yeah, like,
how do you like, search that one out? Now you're using your Inteleon. You have to have chain. You have to find five cards from your Inteleon line.
Yes, and
to pull off one combo to get a two prizes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Gladly. Also, Brian just walked in and gave me this for you, Kevin.
Oh, sick. Nice.
No leaks.
It's a gold path of the peak for the audio listeners.
Oh,
yeah.
I was hoping you wouldn't say it.
I think people are figuring out what I'm playing in Vancouver.
You see, you have to do enough stuff so that you have the benefit of people watching it on YouTube, not Spotify. Because then people will be like, oh, man, I got to go check his YouTube out as well. You know what I mean?
Like and subscribe.
Man, I really like that shirt, Mello. See, now they have to go watch the YouTube.
So my second favorite, third favorite, I guess Palkia is probably number two. My third favorite V-Star, and the one that I think I'm the only person in the world who's excited about, is Lilligant. Or Hisuian Lilligant, technically. It's 130 plus 100 if you're turning energy from your hand, which synergizes perfectly with Gardenia's. So you're hitting hard. You're hitting 230. That's pretty good, right? That's like a good number.
Very good.
Grass is a cool type because it KOs Samurott and Darkrai. And no one plays fire because fire doesn't exist. Shout out to James Arnold, former podcast guest, for getting 17th place with Charizard.
But, it doesn't exist because Palkia is a thing now.
Yeah, so you have no weakness. You hit fairly hard. I like it. I like Lilligant. I'm not claiming it the best card in the set, but I think it is a good deck, and I don't think anyone thinks it's a good deck right now.
There's a lot of grass support, too, as far as, yeah, the Gardenia, obviously, but Turfield as a stadium. And so you're putting five combo grass and energy. You can really pull off some really cool combos. There's a ton of healing and supportive stage one, stage twos. Obviously, Rillaboom exists as well. The damage is fine, right? 230, 260 with a belt. I like it. I don't know how you build it yet, but I think it's probably better than Samurott. And I'll take, if you want to go head to head, I'll take Lilligant. You can have Samurott. Fair.
Yeah.
I'd still find a way to win.
I think Lilligant slides into that whole like B tier of decks, kind of where Suicune is now, where Suicune's like good. It has the potential to win a tournament. It's solid. Like, you know, it does the thing that it wants to do consistently, and it does the thing, but it's not as good as other things. I think Lilligant falls right into that role of, like, yes, you can pull your combos off. Yes, it's good numbers. Yes, you're doing all these things. But other things just do it slightly better and more consistently. I think it's a good card.
Yeah.
It's a good card.
I mean, it hits your 220 number you like.
Yep.
So it fits that mold. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can hit 220... with a V, it's a good card. And if you can hit 250, it's busted.
Yeah, well.
So, Darkrai.
Yeah.
show me your, 250 would be with a ping, right? So show me your, seven energies on your field?
Seven and a ping, sure.
Yeah.
I'm just not into Turbo Dark. I think so. Okay, here's my hot take. Listeners, feel free to at me on Twitter and tell me how much you hate me for this take, but
getting my phone out
at @mellow_magikarp. The amount of people who talk about how much they hate blank deck or blank format. I hate tag teams. I hate this. I hate that. And then are automatically like, Turbo Dark was the most fun deck I've ever played. You just played a big basic deck that vomited cards and tried to win as quickly as possible. You cannot talk about hating other formats because that format is just, I'm going to go boom. Hooray. I'm not a fan of Darkrai. If you enjoy those decks, that's great. I don't love them, and I most importantly dislike the people who talk about them.
Are you complaining about that format?
No, I'm not complaining about that format. I'm saying the people who love that format complain about other formats that are the exact same thing of here's a big basic that's doing a lot of damage very fast.
Okay. That format had Sable Guard in it. That's why I'm like, hey, man, I've always back off a little bit.
No, so I have a disdain for Turbo Dark purely for that reason, which is a terrible reason. I'm well aware of that, but a mediocre deck. It's gonna it'll win a regional, sure. Well, no, it won't because we only have like one regional in this format.
As long as we're talking about our spicy picks with Lilligant, I got two of them three of them that I really, 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 really like, but are bad for one reason and I hate it.
Okay. Give us one.
One?
Give us all three, but start with one of them, I guess. Unless they're all bad for the same reason.
The first one is like a 2-second conversation. It's Heatran VMAX. Bad. Like,
GG's. Weak to Palkia.
Yes, that's the only reason. Other than that, if water wasn't as prevalent, this card would be all busted.
Yeah.
Absolutely busted. Like,
the healing 50. Oh
yeah,
that's pretty good.
It's so big on a 330 HP Pokemon,
especially if you have a stadium in play when fire already has arguably the best stadium in the game,
right? Like, and like the thing is, your acceleration with that, you get a heal of the damage that you put on there,
and then some,
and then you bop them for 180 plus choice band is 210 plus burn is 230. Yeah. yummy like there's your number.
And you can rule shark your opponent because they don't know how burn works, because that hasn't been a thing forever.
Yeah, right. Like my opponent doesn't have a burn counter.
They changed it with the Pokemon checkup stuff. So
true.
Yo, that's true.
How about baby Heatran in there though?
Radiant Heatran will have its date. We'll have its time in the sun.
Are we talking expanded or standard?
Standard.
Okay. I think expanded, I would agree with for sure.
You can power it up one turn.
Yeah. I mean, if here's the thing. What do you do against an opponent who benches a Radiant Heatran, throws the stadium out, and accelerates a fire energy, puts 2 damage? You have to deal with that now.
Right.
Because if you don't, it's hitting 280 next turn.
Next turn, yep.
Like, it's coming at you, and it's shot in an Arceus.
It's really good.
Yeah.
For anyone who's never met Alex before, he loves Sable Garb more than anything else, but his number two is janky single prizers that take too much work.
Yeah, buddy. All right. We don't want to talk about Empire for an entire day and a half. I'm your guy.
All right. What's your number two? I think the Heatran VMAX is a very obvious why we're not playing it.
Yes. I think Ryko V. Oh, sorry, not Ryko. Luxray V.
Wait, why is that card bad? I think that card is disgustingly good.
Shout out to our buddies over at Omnipoke, but I got beef. They can find me. They can find me in a dark alley. They gave it a 1 out of 5, and yeah. I about threw my phone out of my car when I was listening to their.
Well, if you ever question it, just go look at the Cosmic Eclipse set preview.
Oh yeah, the 2 out of 5 ADP.
Yeah, they can whiff. It's pretty easy to whiff.
I love Joe Bernard.
It's not a shot at them. I love them as well. I watch everything they put out.
I've only met Joe. And I met him in like 2016 at Worlds or something like that. He was hanging out with the Poke Beach crew, and he was a cool, you know, like he's a cool guy. I played him at that Worlds. Great dude, but
he's wrong.
Luxray V as a 1 out of 5 is angers me.
I think this card is very good. It's not a deck, but it is. Yeah. It's what control and or lock decks and or something that plays double turbo energy and just is in awkward position sometimes is missing.
Answer me this. How does, outside of Sharon's care, because Sharon's care, duh. Outside of Sharon's care, how does Arceus and Inteleon deal with Paralyze?
Right. I've been saying it. There's just so little switch right now, and so we're all relying on attach. But you can't. Yeah. Now you can't attach retreat.
Mm-hmm. So Bib Arceus obviously plays like two switch, two rope. That's not what we're dealing with here. We're talking about Arceus and Inteleon, which is still, in my opinion, slated to be BDIF. You hit it for 120, right? You hit it for 120. They're paralyzed. They can't do anything. They pass it over to you. You attach a band. You hit it for 250. Now they're sitting at 270 HP. You goon ping it the next turn and start the loop over again.
Yeah, I like it.
You hit perfect numbers. Like, it is made. This card is just made for slaying Arceus and Inteleon. Oh my gosh.
We're
like, sure,
reading a completely different card. I'm focused on Fang Snipe.
Oh, well, that's a great start, yeah.
Great, cool, thumbs up. But
you play
I'm talking
with Alina, and you play with Alina, and so you've just... They have no out next turn. You're perfect.
Yeah. Like, it literally... Luxray V single-handedly beats Arceus and Inteleon. Single-handedly. By itself.
Are you bringing it to Milwaukee?
I'm not going to Milwaukee.
If you were going to Milwaukee.
I would have to test it. I mean,
there we go.
Don't put it past him bringing it to NAIC.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm about to say it. Like, if Arceus and Inteleon dumpsters Milwaukee, you bet your bottom dollar that I will be bringing some sort of Flaffy deck to NAIC.
I can confirm this. He loves Flaffy. Yeah.
I think Flaffy is just waiting in the rings, ready to just ruin days.
I think the most important part of this card to me is, so Fang Snipe, 30, your opponent reveals their hand, discard a trainer card you find there. What has control been missing? Discard. Let's look at all the cards in the world. Mally VMAX, bottom of the deck. Fan of Waves, bottom of the deck. Yelgrunt, back to hand, not to discard. This is like the only card. Okay, Berserker, flip three coins, whatever. But yeah, this is like the only card that consistently discards something in this current format. And I think that is incredibly powerful and something control has been missing. Because so many times you're like, all right, I boss stalled something, but also I can't discard anything. And I'm just kind of going to sit here and hope for the best. I think this card is so good. I'm thinking you boss stall something, you sit there and Fang Snipe for 10 damage, you whittle away at those resources, and you do that and win the game.
In theory, it's how Vikavolt decks can beat Mew now. Mm-hmm. Because you can rip away a lot of their energy retreats. Like, if you can get rid of their DTE and their training court, Vikavolt will just beat Mew. Because you boss stall the Vikavolt, or you boss stall a Genesect, and I've already talked about how, like, I haven't talked about it here, I've talked to you about it, how, like, the numbers are absolutely perfect to boss one up, Vikavolt it a bunch of times, boss another one up, Vikavolt that a whole bunch of times, and then finish off two Genesects with a Regieleki. Including with Oricorio math. There is one turn where they can, like, bench an Oricorio and do stuff, but Mew players are not going to see that coming.
You've told me the deck list, and I still don't see the Regieleki coming.
So, it's one of these things where, like, if you hit it 50-50-50, Regieleki will snipe it then later for 40 and knock it out. If they put an Oricorio down, you're hitting it for 30 a turn, you'll put them up to 180, snipe it with the 20 from the Regieleki. Right? The only time that the math doesn't work is if they bench the Oricorio on the turn where they have 100 damage on them. The only time that it wouldn't work.
Bench a Manaphy.
Yeah.
What if they bench a Manaphy?
Yeah.
If a Mew player benches a Manaphy, I am raising my hand and being like, you need to deck check this man, sir.
And then you look over at the Mew player next to you has Manaphy on the bench as well. What did I do?
I thought I'd just go home.
I miss a Twitter post or something.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I'm off the deep end.
What's
but
bad about Luxray?
You had a third deck. You had a third deck, didn't you?
Yeah. So I'm off. Yeah, I need to stop
Let's
talking
leave this
about
one for later. I think this will be great next set. I think it's not. It's time's not here yet.
I think it's good. Whatever Sander does, this card is good. It's going to be in one of Sander's top eight decks.
It's worth a buy one, maybe two of right
yes,
now.
Yes. 100%. Save it. There's actually like a lot of cards that are like buy two of them, save it. It will be good.
Yeah.
Just not right now because of XYZ. The other one that I really like is Hisuian Sneasler.
No, the Sneasler?
I hear keyboard typing.
Carrying Climb ability. As long as this Pokemon is on your bench, your active Pokemon's retreat cost is 2 less.
No.
The V.
Sneasler V.
Ah, of course. So Poison Claws for 0 energy. Your opponent's active is now poisoned. Dire Claw, dark colorless, 80 damage. This attack does 80 damage for each special condition affecting your opponent's active Pokemon. Also for your treat. That's kind of cool.
It's for your treat.
Uh-huh.
Right? And with the with Butterfree, which you can just drop, you just do it, you're hitting 240, right? Then the burn of the poison from the Butterfree, you're 270. Yeah. Choice Band, 300.
Okay.
How is that in dark patch chargeable, and you have built-in pivots? Because the deck has free retreat. My word, why aren't more people talking about this?
Yeah, I don't hate it. You sold me.
I don't hate it either.
You sold.
You can run Turfield because you don't need anything else, so you get the guaranteed Butterfree, right?
You run, well, you have to run, I think you have to run Sinnoh to deal with Fusion Strike energy. But if you're really worried about
your dark
matchup,
type, what? Oh, never mind. Just kidding. Ignore me.
Yeah, but you can't put abilities on them or conditions. But if you're playing dark, you could put in a dark package of some sort to deal with Mew if you didn't want to play Sinnoh. But honestly, like, how many Sneasers are you going to need? 3? Cool. We put 3 in the deck, right? How many? What's your Butterfree line? 221? 222? You don't need much because Scoop Up Neck exists, right? That's room enough for an Inteleon engine.
That sounds like a deck of cards.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. Like, I don't hate everything it.
Up. It sounds like an LDF YouTube video.
It sounds like I think it's a step above an LDF YouTube video.
Hey, here's the thing. 2 Sneaslers, you have them take 2 Sneaslers, and then you could have them take an Inteleon, and you could play a Baby Moltres because you're playing dark decks. Like, what? Why is this card not like a 4 out of 5 or a 5 out of 5 sort of thing?
190 HP.
Cool. You're blowing everything else up.
Yeah, but you're just trading equally with other decks.
You're doing it probably a little bit better.
If your Butterfree engine can do it better, then sure. I will agree with that statement. I think it's a fine deck, but I think you're still talking about a 1-1-1 or whatever, a 2-2-2 Butterfree line that you're heavily reliant on.
Play it with Lil again. You can find all your Butterfree pieces.
Yo, now we're talking. You need a V-Star.
I know. I'm a deck builder. What can I say?
Dude, see what I mean? I think this card, a lot of people are going to look at it and be like, oh, cool, it's another like bulk V, or it's like a tier 3 thing that someone's going to bring to your locals, or like
so you,
it's a locals card for now. I'll put it
no.
We need to stop putting them in tiers, like stars and all that. This is a locals tier off the rip. Good, like, a point. Okay, locals worth will get you points. You'll win your locals with that. You show up with that. No one will know what is this.
To be fair, our locals is stacked.
But what is it? You have to read every card. Not everyone can be Luke Smith.
That's the advantage that I take into every single regionals I go into.
If my opponent can't read half of my deck, then not doing it right.
Well, I think that's just like a good philosophy, just as we're going to go on this tangent. As a good philosophy to have into a regionals is because everybody at a regionals does their research. They kind of know what decks exists in the thing, especially when you start getting the top tier tables, right? But you throw down something unexpected, all of a sudden, all of the research goes out of the out the window. Right.
Well, that's
right
what Sanders' deck was great for that. And then he got on stream round 8 and everyone had the book on him for day 2 and he got just slaughtered.
Right. But my philosophy is make day 2 and then see what happens. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like make it to game 7 in like a World Series. Right. Game 7, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Right. So as long as you get to the thing, who knows? Make it to day 2. Weird things can happen.
Take Sneasler to day 2 of...
And I see.
I took worlds. Yeah.
I played Mega Manectric in a field of Night March and made day 2. Shoot, that's all I gotta do.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
make day 2.
That's a low bar because Alex is better than most of the people at NAIC. So I don't know if that counts as Sneasler being good or Alex playing a deck that he has optimized and just being better than most of his opponents.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you for the compliment.
Never mind. You're trash. Sneasler's good. Okay.
There it is. I'll honestly take that as well.
It was a trick.
Do we just want to hit a couple of the other cards? Because we still have all the trainers at the stadium.
Grant, I was going to say, we've both gone through our most exciting cards. Give us yours.
I mean, I think the best Pokemon in the set's Radiant Greninja. I don't think we need to talk about it too much because it fits into almost every deck in some way.
The other reason I think Palkia is good is Palkia's ability can use this to KO two Drizziles if they're not playing Manaphy, which is really good.
And in that same, we'll stick on the Palkia line, I think Starmie has some form and fit in the meta. I think it's really, and it has great alt art. So,
does it?
It can,
that's a good alt art. Oh, that's an expensive card.
That's a chase card, yeah.
Yeah.
The we talked about it in before we got started. The Miltank, I think, has viability as far as just being a hindrance card as a one prizer to throw in decks to throw things off. And I know you have something to say about it, Alex.
Well, first of all, Starmie V will be played immensely, right? It has the capability of responding to a Arceus accelerating three energies because you just bop, attach, Melanie, boom. Like, you take two prizes, which is like half the battle.
At the very least, the fact that the card exists means people are going to play around it if you're playing water energies. Yep. And them playing around it means they're not playing optimally to their own game plan. And I think that's a big deal.
That might be why Sinnoh is seeing success, because if someone's really, really scared of the Starmie, they'll only accelerate one energy so they don't get choice ban shot. And then they're like, here's a Sinnoh, here's a knockout. And then, well, then what do you do?
Come back to Palkia.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, because, like, the thing is, like, Palkia does the thing. Palkia attaches and attacks, and that's it, right? Opponents have to play around it. That's the benefit of it. But good players can play around it fine, and bad players won't. So there you go. Miltank, it makes me cry. I like bench blocking V single prize, you don't hit me with your double prize things. Sigalith, great stuff. Suicune, second at 2015, right? There's a lot of like really cool basic blocking or V blocking basics. That's the way to play them. Decidueye, right?
Altaria,
barf, right? Like those things were only really seen in like niche play, cutesy little things. But now you have it back on a basic for the first time in forever, and you're like, yes, here we go. But Pokemon TCPI not realizing that like they built something that is just unplayable. The attack is terrible. Yeah. Like the attack is bad because your opponent's just like, oh, cool. So you can't build around Miltank. You can't build quad Miltank, three Miltank. You're playing it as a two of or a one of because you can't build around it because the attack is just so bad. It's terrible. Against Arceus and Inteleon, your opponent, like, if they're like, oh, I'm playing Quad Miltank, you can't meet with your Arceus, they're like, cool, I'll spend seven turns just charging up my Inteleons, and then I'll go in, and what do? You just lose. So you can't build around it. You just can't.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you ping with Greninja, ping with your attack, and now all three of them are dead in one turn.
You mean Miltank Greninja?
Yeah, the Miltanks are dead. No, if you come in, you power up
Arceus. Yeah, because Arceus should run the Greninja.
20
right?
On two of them on the bench. You put 70 on them with the Greninja. You ping them again. Now two are dead and the active's dead. So
man, I'll gladly play around it. I mean, like, what you're playing.
It's a good. My thought was it's just a good hindrance card. I see a lot of it. Japan tried to make it happen as a four of in a deck, but then they've put it in. It's like the one, two of. It's just, all right, I need to buy it one turn.
True, sure. I understand it as that, but that's. I suppose going back to my point of like you can't build around it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not good. It's not a good card, but it is. It will see play for sure.
I think the existence of perfume. What is it? Butt perfume. What's it called?
Yeah.
That's not the name.
Challenging cologne.
Canceling
cologne.
One or the other.
Canceling cologne. Sorry. Yeah, that actually makes way more sense.
I like butt colognes.
Butt perfume. I just, like,
coming to a regional near you.
Some kid sprayed Axe in the body, or they did the whole can of Axe in the middle of the hallway today. And I just looked at my other teacher friend and I was like, yeah, we teach middle school. Yeah,
no abilities. No abilities.
Yeah, no abilities. I should have said that to him. Like, oh no. Because that card exists, like if Arceus is really scared, they'll just play one.
Yeah.
Just be like, here you go. Like, I knocked you out. Ha ha. Because in that scenario, it's more, it acts as a boss, because boss is like, boss for one prize if they're playing Tech Mill Tanks. That is now a, canceling alone for one prize. It's a one prize card. Like, what canceling clone says is that I get to take a free prize if my opponent's dumb and is playing a mill tank.
Yeah.
Boop. Like, why wouldn't you play a card that says take a prize?
Because no one's going to play mill tank.
Exactly.
I do like canceling clones. I guess we're going to get into the trainers now. Unless, Grant, you had another Pokemon?
The only other one I think about could see any sort of play immediately would be like a Whydier V. Just the ability to be able to, you know, we've seen it with Coco before. Something else to the new one.
Oh.
Riders stretched. Just to be able to scoop up all the energies, go attack. I don't think it hits very hard, but it's colorless, so it has all those fun tricks. And
it's good with Sharon's, right? Because you can Sharon loop it.
Yeah. So I think it's fine.
It's good in Darkrai belts too, because like your Darkrai's hurt and you need to buy one more
it's
turn.
A sweeper, pick up and do the damage number that you need.
Yeah. No, I think it's worth buying one of Whydier.
Yeah.
If the cards Yoga Loop, Inteleon, and Zigzagoon were not in format, Bisharp might be BDIF.
But, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bisharp's really good. Awesome. Yeah.
That card's awesome.
The deck sounds really fun.
You could see that engine working, yeah.
Yeah, it naturally like builds itself, and there's a lot of cool interactions that you can do with it, a lot of cool techs you can play in it. Like, it's a fun thing, but then your opponent's just like, Yoga Loop, and you lose.
Yeah.
Same reason Mad Party's unplayable.
Exactly. What's the other one? Oh, Mightyena. It's not really the death of Mew. They just don't play the VMAX. It gives Zoroark builds like an out to Mew, but they already have one. So like Zoroark builds, it doesn't help them at all. What was the other one? There was one other like big one that I was Enjoy Mantine.
Golduck.
It's a good attack, just a bad cost.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I want to talk about Diancie real quick. I love this card. I think it's not playable currently, but it's your opponent cannot use supporters to affect your benched basics, and it has collect as an attack or spike draw or something like that.
So it's Articuno.
Yeah.
Without the energy excel or energy move attack.
But with drawing cards as an attack.
Sure.
I like Diancie a lot. I don't know where or if it will ever be good. Probably not. And people are going to say, well, what about Escape Rope? But like, how many people play Escape Rope? I think one of the most annoying things is when people are like, but this card exists that counters it. And it's like, yeah, but like, people don't really play that card. Like when people tell me Magikarp loses a Spiritomb.
Yeah, Spiritomb.
I don't care.
Yeah. What was it? It was one of Mike's takes that Spiritomb will be in a top 16.
Oh, yeah. It's like an unplayable card. I like Diancie. There's a world where Diancie is a very strong card for a single tournament in a deck. I don't know what that world is, but I like it. I like it a lot.
To be fair, to answer your question of what decks are playing Escape Rope, well, Mew, Arceus Bib, and like a lot of other things are taking it as a one of.
It's a one of in whatever I'm playing. I think it's such a good card.
So, to be fair.
Yeah, but you can survive one Escape Rope. That's not. You just need a second Diancie. Well,
it helps you beat Arceus and Inteleon, the straight version.
I think
like if you get in a Sharon's loop and they try and keep something off the bench, so you can't.
Oh no, I'm not saying escape rope's not good. I'm saying a Diancie deck could beat a single escape rope.
Oh,
it's like Mew running three escape ropes. Well, yeah, that would probably body any Diancie deck that exists. I don't care about that.
Thievul's not worth it, right? Thievul's bad?
I don't know what it does, so yeah, it's bad.
The other one is a good one of pickup and probably get the alt art, the Hoot Hoot.
Yeah. Oh, the alt art's so good.
The alt art is very pretty, and it's kind of a cool effect. It's what was it, Greedent or something?
There's a Carbink that... Same. Energy Keeper Carbink from Fates Collide, the same thing.
Yeah, so it's worth a pickup just to have in your collection.
The reason that I don't think it'll really ever see play is because control decks are always nichely played, always. Carbink did the same thing in a Crushing Hammer live format, and no one ever played it. You played the
it
other
It did win a regional. Did it not? Is that not the same Carbink that Mahone played in his...
No, that is the EX blocking Carbink.
Oh, I thought he played the Crushing Hammer Carbink.
If he played one of, then I guess I just don't know. But Carbink, the thing that people played with the break, Carbink break, was the EX blocking one.
Hmm, interesting.
So
I still like Hoot Hoot.
I mean, yeah, it's a cool card. It's always a neat one to have just in case Crushing Hammer does start ruining the meta. But I don't see that happening anytime soon.
It's a good card. Like, cards like that are good to be aware of that they exist too, and not being told about it the night before and having to try and find
it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, trainers.
Yeah, I didn't have anything else, I don't think.
Should we just go down the list and just...
Oh, actually, one I wanted to ask you guys about, because I think a lot of people are divisive on it. I'm sorry, I know we were going to get into trainers, but Hisuian Voltorb.
Not worth it. Colorless to attach?
Free to attach on turn 2.
No,
unless you're playing a deck with a lot of what's it called? Free retreaters or switches or something like that.
Okay.
Right now the energy attach benefit isn't there, right? For missing a turn of what you're trying to do.
Right. Yeah. No, I just seen a lot of people seem to be really, really torn on if it's like busted or not.
I forget who compared it to Battle VIP Pass.
Me.
Okay, that was like, the card's absolutely broken, but like so was Battle VIP Pass, and almost no one plays that, right? So it's like, is this actually better to play so many dead cards in the future? Sure, you can quick ball for it to find it, but like,
no, the effect is good, right? So check for 2 energies and attach it, right? Like that card would be decent on like any for free on a single prizer.
Yeah.
As for free on a single prizer, search deck for 2 energies and attach. Good attack. But if you miss it, then you have this Hisuian Voltorb.
You miss that. Now you have the other things that you need. You need to have other Pokemon set up.
Beautiful.
You have to have full setup to be able to reap the benefits of it. And then what's your next play?
Yeah.
And then they boss something on the bench. Now you have a Hisuian Voltorb taking up a bench.
Right.
I'd love
the evolution is garbage.
I love Beacon, but no.
Energyless attack, right?
Well, Beacon was different because
the format was slower.
Ninetales existed.
Ninetales, yeah.
I mean, okay, also true. But there were decks that ran Beacon even without Ninetales.
I'll tell you right now. Oh, yes. And you can Beacon for like a Lele and stuff, and a Lele is a good attacker. Mm-hmm. So like you're getting a supporter and an attacker in one go. But answer me this: if Hisuian Electrode had a shady dealings type of a thing,
this would be an instant 4 of.
Yeah, right.
You don't like triple draw.
What's wrong with 3 cards for free, dude?
Right.
No,
Marnie rotates, so you'll probably get to keep them.
Yeah, you just don't take prizes because you're doing nothing, so Roxanne doesn't disrupt your hand, and you're good.
Right. Boom! Look at that. They can't Roxanne you if you don't take prizes.
Genius. Because no one's going to play Judge, so you're fine.
That's how you get around Roxanne, dum-dums.
That's a good question. Are people going to play Judge immediately as a replacement?
Maybe.
I don't think so, right?
I think there's going to be something like Judge Pikarom that came out of Worlds where it's like, I'm going to spam Judge and all these play out of hand decks are going to eventually brick and they'll win in cheese games because of it. I think there will be a deck like that.
Yeah.
Judge pairs well with your own Bibarel, though.
Oh, that's true.
Bib's going to be in every deck.
Right. So probably. If your opponent doesn't get a bib out, right, and yeah. you go, here's a judge, here's a fang snipe from Luxray.
Yeah, here's a starbirth, judge, path, GGs.
All right, trainers.
Trainers.
You want to just go down the list?
Real yeah. quick? We'll start with Adaman. It's Crasher Wake V2.
Bad.
I'll find a way to make it playable, but pass.
Canceling yeah. Cologne. I love this card for all the reasons Alex hates it. I have an instant out to Decidueye, Amazenta, Hoopa, whatever wall shenanigans come at me. Oh, now I have to shove this bad Pokemon. Nah.
Here's I like it as a card.
Yep. I'm happy it exists. Screw your walls.
Yep.
I'm furious it exists.
Because
here's what it's telling you. Here's what it's telling you.
Yeah.
It's Pokemon loudly saying we don't like single prizers. Loudly.
Item lock them.
Yeah.
It,
item lock them with your wall Pokemon.
Give me a single prizer that item locks, and you bet you I'll play that card.
Item lock and then discard it from their hand. Now that we have discard from hand.
It's no secret. It's absolutely no secret that Pokemon is all about like the big flashy, I'm dealing damage, I have 50 alt arts, I am a 3 prizer, I have a full art. Ooh, like it's the stuff that like hooks toddlers and like 21-year-olds into Pokemon.
Yeah.
Right. It's the thing that brings the new people in. Oh, I want the flashing num num num. But then the people that have been around forever that play the game because the game is fun go, hey, this card is bad for the overall state of getting out of or ever thinking about seeing a world without 2 and 3 prizers. We're never going to have a scenario where we're going back to the days of actually taking 6 knockouts.
Nope.
Like, we already knew that existed, but like cards like this just make me mad that they're like waving it in my face. Just like, hey, look, if you have a single prize wall Pokemon, ooh, now all of a sudden, like you don't, haha. Like, oh, wall stall's getting big. Now it's not, haha. Like, play your dumb VMAXes, you little baby.
Well, okay, I'll counter it by saying like the fact that it exists, you're not going to throw it in your deck just because of the threat of something, like unless it's meta. Right, unless right. it's actually something that can affect it. So if you go back to like Vileplume and they printed Stealthy Hood, like, okay, here's a card that exists. We're already in tight decks across the board. Here's a card that you could put in your deck. If you find it and play it, you have a chance to potentially beat something that can auto beat you, and the game's not fun. So it creates diversity either way. So you're still playing Pikaram, but you have a Stealthy Hood now. I think it's a fine card to have in the form, like. Chandler existed. What's the other one? Sabrina or something like that. The new one that lets you hit through VMAX when Zamazenta was a thing. People were like, do I play one or two?
What,
do
Peony? I even play?
Oh, or, Phoebe.
Phoebe,
yeah. So cards like that, I mean, that was a supporter, but like just having cards like this, are you going to really run 2 or 3 in your deck just for the threat of Miltank or Decidueye or something right
no.
now?
No. No,
it also
but
fits
it
in the expanded and other things.
It explicitly prohibits things ever from becoming tier one. Things like that ever becoming tier one.
That's fine.
It'd be good if nothing was tier one across the board.
Well, yeah.
That's why weakness is such a thing, except for colorless.
Yay! Think about how much better this format would be.
If colorless and metal. Sorry, with the
about,
special energy.
Think about how good it would be. If you could hit Arceus for weakness, this format would be so good.
If only
it would be. Oh, it would be gross.
It'd be amazing. I'd love it.
All right, next
I'd
card.
I want to live in this format forever. Sorry. Anyway, canceling clone is. I want to cancel that card.
Joy, bad. Silene, I like this card.
I like it a lot. Dude.
It's not broken, but the fact that you can get any card back from the discard pile says playable, maybe.
All right, so. Seeing the tweet, Jesper's tweet saying that Sander talked him into saying Opal's a good card. And so I'll give Soda a shout out here. on the Opal train since day one. Opal flip two coins, find any card is disgusting. This is just as good for your discard pile. It's not great, but it's really good. So I'm full on. Cylene, I'll be buying full arts.
Very good for Mew.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oops, I missed my Cylene. I'll still draw 12 cards.
Yeah. I hit it. Two more. What's it called? Back.
Tablets.
Yep. Oh, cool. Now I can Oko everything.
If stuff like Bib and Genesect didn't exist, I don't know if people would be playing this card.
It'd be unplayable.
Yeah.
But they do.
I'll shout out. There's a format that I've always tried to get to work. We played it in Spokane a little bit, and I tried to get it off the ground here. And I'm going to try again eventually. I know I will. We call it Elite Format. You take four random sets. So you take a random number generator, assign all the sets a number. You roll four sets, and you go, that's your format this week. And you have to build a deck from those four sets, no matter how bad.
That was the thing on Limitless. I can't remember who ran it, but that was so much fun.
Running the Journey format. It was Black White on.
I got second at one of them.
Why did no one tell me about this?
You never asked.
I wrote a PokeBeach article about it like 5 years ago.
Guggen, what's his name?
Yeah, look at my head. All right, next card. Dark Patch is incredibly good.
What I was saying is that Opal was like the premier draw supporter in one of those formats every round.
Yeah, Opal's so good. I'll probably play Opal in Vancouver.
And I hated that format.
I have to.
I wrote an article about the format. Why did no one tell me about this? What's it called? Journey format?
Yeah.
Gudenoff.
I think that's what it's called. Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
I'm so mad.
Dark Patch, great.
Yeah, it's like Lotto, it's very blatantly good. Energy Lotto's probably never going to be played. I know people are like, oh, now you can Drizzile for an Energy Lotto for a double turbo. No, Starbirth exists. Yeah. There are decks where it could be good, but it's not. There's nothing that currently would rather run Energy Lotto than Energy Search, I don't think.
No, not currently, but Energy Lotto will be played at some point in its life.
Sure.
Featherball's cool if there's ever a deck that runs Free Retreat and isn't run by the Genesect engine that would rather just play Ultra Ball.
It's called Hisuian Sneasler. Sure. Okay. Catch up, Mello. Catch up.
You play a one of because you're playing the Drizzile engine. Ba-bam.
Yeah. Come on.
Gapejaw Bog is a card I really like. It's the Team Magma Secret Base reprint, essentially. It's good. I think it can fix math, potentially. And at the very least, there are decks that want to be damaged. Gardenias. Go for your Gapejaw.
I was just saying, imagine like benching if you don't have your, like, if you're building a deck that's like somewhat around Radiant Heatran, and you need like extra damage on it, and like you can't find your fire thing, you just bench it, and you're like, ha.
That's what I was thinking. You Gapejaw into replace it with the Fire Stadium.
Yeah.
Okoing anything.
Okay, if the Gapejaw sticks a turn, and then you. Yeah. It's broken.
Well, yeah. Like. Heatran.
Gardenias. Another quick rant by me on Gardenias. And I said this in my YouTube video on my top 10 trainers. Everyone compares it to Welder and says it's not as good as Welder. No one should care. Welder is one of the best supporter cards ever printed. That thing was absolutely disgustingly good for its entire existence. If Gardenias is worse than one of the best cards ever printed, it's probably still really good. I think Gardena is a very good card, even if it is not quite as good as Welder, technically. I love it.
It's got limitations. It's the draw first thing is cool.
Yeah. The bench is the only major limitation.
It's like the most like fair type of card you could print for that.
It's what Welder should have been.
Yeah.
Draw first is awesome. Attach to the bench is awesome. The difference between 2 and 3, right? Like, think about how many people have played stuff like Cynthia or Professor's Oaks instead of stuff like Shauna.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Shuffle Draw 5, no one plays. Shuffle Draw 6, busted. Draw 3, good effect, busted. Draw 2, good effect,
But the effect is still really, really good. Like,
it is
really good.
Yes. I think we'll have a small
period of time where splashing a ton of grass energy could be a thing.
Welder was also played in a format, though, where there was no double colorless energy, right? True. But now we have double turbo. So, like, you know, it's not going to be played as, like, a tech in random box decks like Welder was. Because Welder, like, needed to replace double colorless. But now we have double turbo and ways to search it out. So, if you look at both cards, like, across time, if you, like, put these into different formats, they would both be insanely good in, like, any other format. Yes. But, right now, because we have Starbirth and double turbo, like, it just not going to have the same impact on the meta as other things do. Plus, we already had Rillaboom and Cherrim, right? Is this, like, enough to, like, really push grass to, like, the top tier? Not really.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. Like, you have a chance to have all of that in the same deck. Potentially.
Here goes my jungle monkey?
Zarude.
Here goes my Zarude V popping off.
That's like less of a meme than you're making it sound. I think the Zarude's not bad.
I just wanted to really trigger the one Zarude player in the listening to this, like, hey man.
I've always been a fan of the other Zarude.
The healing.
You attack, yeah, you heal. Attach to and heal all damage of them. Like, that's so gross. How have we not made that work yet?
It was big when that card was Sceptile, Mega Sceptile, people played it.
The problem is the 100 damage kind of sucks.
Milwaukee notes. Yeah.
The trainer Grant, I think it's like, what? It's mediocre, but like, it's one of the coolest card designs they've done in a while. I'm a big fan of the once during your turn, if it's in your discard pile, discard two cards and you can put it into your hand. That's just really cool. And the supporter's just bad enough that it's not a broken thing whatsoever.
And you don't have to play it. You can use the effect and not have to play it, which is awesome.
No, I it's a great card. I think Grant is one of the more balanced cards they've ever created. The moment I saw this card, I instantly went to the custom cube I'm building and built something very similar. Like, put a card in there that was like, play this thing from the discard pile. Yeah. Like, it's cool. Grant's awesome. Grant's awesome. It'll see its day in the sun.
It's not you.
Yeah.
Gutsy picks.
It'll get its day.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Pickaxe, I love it.
I think it's like good. I don't think it's like broken, but it's good.
I want to just play turbo decks with this, the boots, and just get something going right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about trekking shoes? Not in alphabetical order, but like, it's in the same vein of deck thing.
Okay. So why? Okay. And Alex, you can help with this. Why aren't people saying like, this is such a good card? Because like, we know like Acrobike and they're comparing, well, Acrobike was better because of the number probability of pulling a card that you need, whatever.
Bro,
like,
it goes back to the Welder argument. It doesn't matter if something else is better if it's not in the same format.
Everyone's trying to look at it like in a format or in whatever or in a vacuum, like, this is just a really good card for right now. A card that's needed in the format.
I really like cards that do cycling like this, right? Like your Judge Whistle type of thing where you just play it and draw one, right? It to give the opportunity for your deck to have 56 or 52 cards is insanely unique and good inherently. So anything that has sort of a cycling ability by far is going to be good. Acrobike existed at a time where the main way you played your deck was like stuff like Trainer's Mail and Shaman, and you dig through your deck, right? Just dig. Where now... Secret, right? Yeah, Via Seeker, right? Pitch stuff so I can use it for later. Throw it on the discard pile. Play with a 10-card deck for like 5 turns of the game. That's how things were played back then. But now we're playing in this weird format where it's like Mew. Yes, Mew wants to dig. That aside, Inteleon engines are the premier thing. I want my stuff in my deck. I want to be able to evolve and cherry pick it, right? I don't want to dig for things. I already have enough consistency in Inteleon engines with Level Ball and Evo Soda and Ultra Ball and that sort of thing that I don't need to like make it 56 cards, right? Have you ever thought, like, when you were building Arceus Inteleon, have you ever been like, man, I wish I had less cards?
Right.
So that's
I
why
I was
it's
trying to build 56 my number and let everything else be like gravy on top. But yeah, like whenever you put build an Inteleon, it's like, all right, I have 70 cards.
Yeah.
What are the cuts? So
it's a good card. And in a vacuum, when you look at it, when you pick up the card and you're like, this is a good card. This would be played in a lot of formats. It's not in this specific one because of Inteleon engine. Now, once we lose that and Bib becomes the premier engine, right? I think this is a 4 of in every deck.
Well, and it's not a discard necessarily. Like, you don't have to.
No.
You take the card.
It's a cycling card.
Yeah. It's perfect.
It's 1,000,000,000% a 4 of the moment Inteleon rotates.
Yep.
Easily.
Maybe a 4 of in any deck that you don't have, that you're not playing Inteleon.
I mean, it's still a 4 of in Mew right now. Like, you've got to imagine.
Yeah. I played as a 4 of in Duraludon.
Dude, yeah. We'll play a 4 of in Beedrill-based decks.
Yeah.
True.
Perfect.
Is the top card playable? No? All right. Maybe the next card is.
Yeah. Anything you're trying to mustard out. Maybe Quad Cinderace is now finally a thing.
I wish. Hisuian Heavy Ball.
One of in most decks.
If it didn't say basic Pokemon, I would absolutely love this card and think it was disgustingly broken. The basic is very good. If it's at any Pokemon.
Oh, it would be busted good if it's at any Pokemon.
Yes, it's still very good. But it's like, does your deck actually have basics that you need? Some of them, the answer is yes, right? You're one of Dunsparce or you're one of Manaphy? Sure. But other decks don't really care. So it's not like absolutely broken. Like Darkrai, you're probably not going to run a one of anything. So it's like, it's a very, very good card. I just don't think it's a staple.
Any tech you want to play, like the Zapdos, things like that, it's great.
On the flip side, though, right? Do yourself a favor next time you're playing Arceus and Inteleon, peek at your prizes and look at them for like the next 6 games that you play, right? How often are you going to prize either a Sobble or an Arceus?
Sure,
not often enough.
That's seven cards.
Yeah, 7 or 8 cards.
That might be over there. Hisuian Heavy Ball has a good chance out of those like 6 games of just grabbing you one of your basics.
And the benefit of just being able to look at your prize cards too, especially in a deck with 30 one ofs, you know, something like that. Like just being able to look at them and see, okay, maybe you don't even know because you've cycled through all your cards, but like, all right, I'll grab I'll grab an Arceus, but I'm playing a playable card either way. And now I know for sure in a best of 3 in round 8 of a full day of playing, it's a great benefit.
Don't shuffle it, right? You don't shuffle your prizes.
Put them back face
down. You shuffle it into your prizes.
Shuffle it. Oh, dang. Okay, never mind. Then. Okay.
Yeah, if you didn't shuffle, that would be good. Those would be better town map at that point. Because your opponent doesn't see it, you get to see it, and you can take basic out of it.
And it would be better Azelf.
It's also that you too. May reveal. You may reveal of basic. So you see the one you want there. You don't really need it, though. Okay.
Because you got to remember, Azelf was played.
Yes.
Right? Everyone played one Azelf. Everyone. Right? And that was any Pokemon and a bench space. Right?
True.
This is now half of your Pokemon and not a bench space. So, like, you know, you're going up on one side but down on the other. Like, probably still pretty fair. I can imagine people playing one of in almost everything. Unless you're building a deck that's like, if you're building like Arceus, Rayquaza, and those are you only have like 6 basics, then like
that's fair.
So,
Arena or Karina reprint. I just love I love tutoring. Yeah, I think it's cool. I'm a big fan. Is it going to be better than other cards? I don't care. I just really like tutoring. I love Karina.
It fits in a lot of decks really well. It's really good. Palkia.
It's the best trainer.
The best? I think I put her at number 2.
Is it the best trainer, though?
Or 3, but...
Yes. 100% yes. Roxanne is a close second.
I was going to say Roxanne.
Yeah, Roxanne's
don't
my number
wrong.
One.
Roxanne is a close number 2. Dark Patch at very close number 3. No, Irida's the best supporter and best card in this set.
I'm trying to value buy full art to that, for sure.
Like... You just gave Arceus Shady Dealings Inteleon a turn early.
Not a basic, a water Pokemon.
True.
And an item guard.
That is stage two in Inteleon, a turn yeah. early, because you get yeah. the Drizzile and an extra item card.
Yeah.
What? It gives other decks like, oh man, I missed my support, where Karina, old Karina, was like, oh man, like, it's, you know, I'll go grab my item and just kind of like twiddle my thumbs. Imagine Groudon being like, oh man, I don't have a supporter in my hand, let me go grab my Jirachi, Lele, Lapras, Luminion. Like, let me go grab the thing that's gonna, like, get me out of this bad hand.
Yeah.
What? This card's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a very good card. I just don't think it's, like, the best card. I think it's, like, a good supporter.
It's not a card that, again, how do we rank cards, right? It's not a card that's going to be in every deck.
Right.
Roxanne can be played in every deck.
Roxanne's
also not in every deck, I don't think. I think both of these are good in Inteleon Engine decks.
Play Roxanne.
Because I think it depends on the B-barrel count, right?
I mean, I'd probably play two.
You gotta remember, here's the problem with Roxanne. Obviously, it's a very, very, very good card, but it is dead for two-thirds of the game.
Shady Dealings.
Right, same. Well, Irida. Irida gets you the Shady Dealings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to grab it to get the Shady Dealings versus. So I think that's the difference here of, like, you have to just have this for your logic of grabbing the Shady Dealings versus you could have just played a different supporter, probably drew the Shady Dealings because you play three of them and four level balls and three incense and other cards.
Irida, I think, is like a one or two of in Arceus Inteleon, right? And I think Roxanne is a one or a two of in Arceus Inteleon.
But it's a win condition. Path is a win condition. Turn two Iridia for a Drizzile is not a win condition. He is currently thinking.
So I'm trying to construct my argument here because, like, we're looking at this in terms of both of these things clearly go into Inteleon decks.
Yes.
Right. But then you look at non-Inteleon decks, which is more valuable, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have the same argument for both things, whereas, like, Roxanne is dead in 2/3 of the game. Right, and it's even more dead if you can't get rid of their Bibarel.
But I think, right? Because if you can fish for the Roxanne, like, you can Luminion for the Roxanne, right? Not fish isn't like draw more cards to draw it,
but also pun because the minion's a fish. but Irida gives you the consistency boost across all turns. Irida is always a live card, is always a good turn
if
card
your deck is running water.
It's good on any turn of the game.
If your deck is running water.
You need water Pokemon.
It is a
very type-specific.
That's what I'm saying. You can't play it in every deck because it is literally limited to water Pokemon. And the water Pokemon post-rotation are Manaphy, Palkia, Luminion. Luminion is not worth it to have in your hand because then you get Roxanne out of it.
That's what if you
next turn? What are you going to do, Luminion for a supporter, and just put a fish on the bench?
Not turn one or turn two,
right? So,
but if you need to get out of it, what we're saying here is that, like, which goes in more decks and which is more valuable across the board?
Roxanne.
Like, I'm not.
I think it's a very good card. I'm not disagreeing there whatsoever.
And I'm also not disagreeing that Roxanne is
that's true. We're literally just splitting hairs on which one is the better of the two.
Well, now think about it. Think about the inverse here. Okay, I'm playing against an Inteleon deck. I put you down to two cards and a top deck to be able to draw your level ball, your scoop up net, something to be able to even play your Inteleon to find what you need to find your Iridia for all we know.
Yeah.
So there's a higher utility in Roxanne as well. But yes, I think Irida is a...
It's a good card. I pulled a full art, and I'm very happy for that.
Yeah. Like I said,
value buy, full art.
The reason N was so balanced was because it was every turn of the game, right? It's always a early game. It's balanced for both players because it's shuffle draw six for both players. Balanced, right? It's a good comeback mechanic card. It's a good late game, oh man, we're going to roll the dice because we're both at one prizes card. Right? Like, it is a fair and balanced card as much as people hate it because, oh, I got into one. right? Boo-hoo.
I love
people
that.
Are going to start complaining about getting Roxanne's to do.
God forbid I get to one prize left, you know?
But fair, in terms of fair and balancedness, right? Roxanne isn't as positively balanced as N.
Correct.
Was.
Agreed.
The other thing, this is just me playing devil's advocate to all the people that, you know, are hard on Roxanne. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I like Roxanne. I wish the three or less prizes is massive. Mm-hmm. I think people are really not understanding three or less instead of four or less or two or less. The difference between both of those is insane.
Yeah.
Right.
I was thinking about two, like the two or less a lot when I was thinking about this card. Three because, is massive.
Because like you're playing on the three or less turn, right? It's actually now not as good because you're giving your opponent probably two more top decks. Mm-hmm. Right? Where if you played a Roxanne when they had two prizes left, odds are you're giving them one top deck.
Okay. I thought about the other way. You get your turn to do it and put them at the two in the top deck, and that gives you your next turn to boss.
Right.
So you actually, the same on both ends, they get two top decks, but you also get a chance, another supporter turn to do something.
Because
if they need to draw out of it, maybe they're marning, they're researching, whatever. Irida, who knows? You know?
Roxanne's a cool balanced card.
Yeah, it's a balanced card. It's a great card.
It's cool. People that did not play in the end days are about to learn. And I'm very excited for that.
Is Jubilife Village a playable card?
Ed? No.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. I think it'll be played at some point in its life in something.
It's a bailout card.
It's a worse Snorlax.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Snorlax is going to be here forever.
It's not Beach. It's just, what is it?
What would you rather, like, there are so many other things you would rather do turn one of the game.
Right.
Like, then Shuffle Drop 5.
Yeah, Hisuian Voltorb.
Yeah,
I like Jubilife. I think it's at some point there will be a deck that utilizes Jubilife Village.
You know what Jubilife is really, really, really busted for? Cube.
Also true.
Good.
It is one of the best cube cards we've ever gotten. Ever. Yeah,
that seems consistency for both people has a cost, and cube is a format that's slow enough that it's actually.
Alex, did you play Legends Arceus?
The video game.
Yeah.
I don't play the video game.
Yeah, I played this one. The people of Jubilife are insane. They're like so scared of Pokemon.
what's the lore behind it? Give us a tour.
Humans and Pokemon can't coexist. So we send out little adventure teams to figure out what Pokemon really are.
That's like the people of Jubilife?
Yeah, so you land in from outer space and you help them realize the Pokemon are your friends.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Pokemon are terrifying.
Right.
How does that synergize with the Shuffle Draw 5 thing?
It doesn't. Like I said, the people of Jubilife are insane across the board.
It would be insane to play this card in Standard.
Yeah.
There you go.
Other interesting things, the super effective glasses. I think this is just a good card.
Later time, yeah.
No,
not now.
No, never.
It could be a fun deck. Like if somebody gets creative, maybe.
So, I love single prizers. Single prizers are great. I wish single prizers ran the entire day. How are you building this? Are you building it to? Obviously, you're trying to do it to hit weakness, right? Granted, right now it's not good because you're not hitting the best deck for weakness. So. Right off the bat, not good. Are you trading single prizers for single prizers? Also probably not, because you're probably going to lose in that scenario, right? If you're banking on hitting weakness against things and you're trading with your weak Pokemon and their good Pokemon, you're not going to recover enough of the correct colored attackers, right? Because presumably you're playing it with stuff that's like hitting for like low numbers, exploiting the weakness. How do you recycle those things? So you're building this deck to beat V Pokemon, V decks, V max decks, and V star decks, right? So you have to think about that, for instance. So now you need to hit numbers. That's what we're talking about here, right? You're hitting those things for double numbers. Let's say you have something that's hitting 30 damage, right? That 30 is now going to go up to 90 with a glasses. Yeah. Wouldn't choice belt do the same thing?
It'll be 30, 60, 180.
No, a choice belt on 30 damage would make 60 doubled to 120. So choice belt is now
right. So it's
better. Yeah. Right?
No, because this says three times, right?
Cool. So my base damage is 30, and I put a glasses on. 30 times 3 is 90. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
30 damage.
I reread the card. We're good. Yep. I got there.
With a choice belt, right? Now I'm doing 120, because it's 30 plus 30 times 2.
Yep.
So the choice belt is now better.
Oh.
So other than the single prize niche decks, like you can't do it with like the Vs, because all the basic Vs are 20, 30, 40 with their one prize or one energy attack.
Right.
Like, there's never any utility other than trying to find a meme cheese deck that hits for weakness.
And like I said, you have to be able to win quickly, because you're not going to because you're going to be playing presumably like one of like five or six different colors, right? Yeah.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that once your Pokemon gets knocked out, you have to recover that Pokemon, get it back out, attach another glasses, and attack.
Well, Zoroark does that.
Right. Yeah, I think that's where it fits in, is Zoroark-type builds. But now go find me stuff. The breakpoint is 60 damage. If it's 70 base, glasses do more damage. If it's 60 base or below, Choice Band does more damage. That's where it breaks.
Hmm.
So you need Pokemon that can deal 70 base damage for cheap in a Zoroark deck with glasses to make it worth it.
Worms.
Find me that for all of the types, and then I'll be sold on glasses.
Worms.
But until then, and then also get rid of Dunsparce. And then,
yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah. So once Dunsparce leaves, once you find me stuff that does 70 base for cheap on a stage one Pokemon, then I'll be sold on glasses. But until then, Choice Band is just better.
Are there any other cards from the set? Because the other stuff we're looking at, like we've already mentioned Temple of Sinnoh a bit. Unidentified Fossil is not good.
Okay, I got one.
Sure.
Zizou, I like it.
No.
I don't know. I think it's a good card. Like, I played Caitlyn at Salt Lake City. So, as a supporter that can, like, fit into a hand where you're not discarding and drawing a bunch of cards, not copycat. Like, you just have, you keep your hand. I don't know. I could find a way to make it work. Other than that,
I think it's
a good supporter to know of.
Good in cube.
True.
Great cube card, right?
Great cube card. I think we got a lot more good cube cards in the set than anything else. I saw people talking about the Jirachi. I just want to go out and say that Jirachi V is terrible.
I have to look this one up.
It's only in a full art.
Why do they keep doing that?
Oh, there's two this time. There's Virizion and Jirachi.
Oh, yeah, Jirachi V is not good. When your basic Pokemon V, important, is knocked out by damage from an opponent's Pokemon's attack, you may choose one basic energy card from the knocked out Pokemon and move it to one of your other Pokemon. That's a lot of
terrible
basic V, basic energy, and it has to be knocked out. So you have to get it on the bench and be in a disadvantageous situation.
How many times in a game can you ever pull this off optimally?
Why would you? Maybe? Yeah.
Twice as a max.
Okay, twice literally is a max, but like once is like the I went second and it got knocked out and I somehow managed to get Jirachi and two basic Vs on the bench and they're not going to KO my Jirachi with 180 prize bench sitter. Yeah, no, it's not good.
That's exactly it, right? It's like at most you're going to get it off twice, and if you get it off twice, now Jirachi's in play when they have two prizes left.
If it terrible were card. Lovable searchable single moon. Prizer, sure.
We had Sun and Moon badge, maybe.
That's such a good card.
If it was Sun and Moon batch, maybe. If the conditions on it were different, maybe. If it was on a single prizer, maybe.
And more HP. Had an attack.
Literally, if it was this card, if it was a 60 or 70, I'll let you decide. If it was 60 or 70, and it had the EXP share ability, it had this ability for any Pokemon.
That would be better.
That's fair.
Would it get played?
Lava Ball searchable?
Probably.
Yes, but we'll make it 60 so it's Yoga loopable.
Okay, then maybe.
I think
actually,
play,
I guess I guess that that one would depend on the deck and the meta. It would be playable. Yeah. Would be the conclusion I've come to.
It'd be more playable than this junk.
Correct.
So can I put it in my, so can I alter that and throw it in my custom cube for when that gets built?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
Sharpie over the V and draw a line through the one.
Mark every. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm creating 672 new unique cards.
That's awesome.
And making a cube. So
it's a lot of work.
It is. I'm only at like 260 right now, but I want to get it done by the end of summer, so we have something to do.
Alex, if you want the people to find you, where can they find you at?
What's my Twitter again? Is it? I don't know. I never use it. So at Spokane Pokemon, tabletop_village on Twitch occasionally, I guess. Whenever Mello's not around to farm us for content, I'm at Tabletop Village in Seattle. But most of the time, if you want my sweet voice more often than not, tune into Mello_Magikarp on Twitch on Friday nights. He's here kicking it at the village. That's the best. Or Facebook.
Oh, that's our first ever Facebook drop.
No, Kevin did it last week too.
Did he?
Yeah,
I didn't listen to the end. Okay.
Man, people shouldn't find me if they want my hot takes. Demand me back on every podcast episode.
I guess that would technically be the most valid response over Facebook and a Twitter you don't know the handle for.
Yeah.
Grant, where can the people find you if they'd like to find you?
The best place you can find me is on the Twitter website. It's twitter.com. I'm at RealBooCK, one word. We're really picking up steam there, and I'll be doing a lot of live tweets from Vancouver. I'll be boots on the ground early, finding out everything that's going on. I'm staying right by the venue. Don't find me. But find me on the internet and check it out. I'll give you all the updates there. Live tweets, plenty of pictures of Mello, fish in the wild, likes, follows, all that stuff.
Do you have a Twitter where you just post candid photos of Kevin?
My Discord, my students will post candid photos of me more often than I'd like to admit.
Had a kid.
Well, I said he needs to go put them in detention or something because they self-expose themselves for having phones out in class.
And of course myself, you can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at Mello_Magikarp. A quick update on the MCU, the Mello Content Universe. I'm getting ready for Vancouver and busy at work, so this will be the only YouTube video for like a week, and no streams for like a week because your boy's busy. And then I'll come back for Astral Radiance. I'll prep everyone for NAIC. Don't worry, I got you there. And if you're in Vancouver, come say hi to me. I'll be wearing a Tabletop Village shirt, and I'm 6'3", so I stand out a whole lot. Say hi to Grant as well. He is a generic white guy, but very nice. And don't say hi to Alex, no matter what, who is also wearing a Tabletop Village shirt on Saturday, probably.
Yeah.
And this has been another episode of the Lake of Rage podcast. We'll catch you all next week.